This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. So we go, this is the first track on an album by Zeeshan B. It's called Oh Say Can You See, and the song is called Do Something. I met Zeeshan at a birthday party earlier this year where some of my favorite storytellers and performers also showed up. So I already knew I was in good, talented company. But when I eventually checked out Zeeshan's music, I could not believe the soul in his voice. It was giving Sam Cooke energy, but like a little more velvety. It was like listening to the oldies I grew up with, especially since Zeeshan also gets into social justice and political issues with his music.
The injustices and the oppression that exists in society is the backdrop. The only way I can escape a feeling of powerlessness is to write something about it.
But Zeeshan is not a black man from the 70s. He's a millennial with South Asian parents. He grew up right here in Chicago, listening to gospel, R&B, and music he learned from his grandparents who grew up in southern India. Interestingly, Zeeshan eventually trained as an opera singer. He was excellent at it, but he says he realized it didn't really make sense for him.
I'm playing the role of a 15th century Spanish nobleman. I don't look like a 15th century Spanish nobleman. I couldn't inhabit that character as much as I could inhabit myself.
These days, Zeeshan leans more into his own identity. He sings in Urdu, Punjabi, and of course in English, very much of the soul and R&B persuasion he grew up with. And to add to the cornucopia of fun facts about him, Zeeshan even speaks a little Italian. I sat down with him to talk about how he experiences language and his love of music, as well as his new album coming out. We started by talking about how soul music influenced him early in life.
Some of the first sounds that I remember is, I always say the first song I remember is Bill Withers' Lean On Me, you know? And those things transformed me. Those are things that are just part of the musical soundtrack of my childhood, whether it's Bill Withers or Stevie Wonder or MC Hammer at the time. Can't touch this. You know, so that was just a lot more, I think, part of my upbringing. Mm-hmm. It came more naturally.
Growing up, you were also learning more about managing echolalia and Tourette's syndrome. I read that this actually had a big impact on you becoming a singer in the first place. Can you talk more about that?
You know, echolalia is a condition where you compulsively repeat what other people say or do. Now, you know, in a vacuum, that can be very problematic. And, you know, we don't live in our society that's not something that's going to be socially rewarded if you have those type of eccentricities. But in the process, my parents discovered that, well, he not only has this compulsive habit of repeating what people say, he has a compulsive habit of repeating these musical phrases that he's hearing when we listen to music, and he's pretty good at it, you know? So my parents found a way to socially reward me. Instead of my, you know, having tics and having outbursts of saying nonsensical things, they would, you know, steer me more, okay, instead of doing that, sing this. What's that Stevie Wonder? No New Year's Day to celebrate, you know? And it's okay, just do that. And I would do that stuff on a loop, and they'd be like, okay, at least he's doing that. At least he's doing something. And we go to, you know, my parents would, you know, if they hosted a party, we go to a party. That was like the party trick. It'd be like, okay, and now, you know, our son, you know, do that thing. You know, and it's like, okay, you know, and so it's like, and everybody's clapping, everybody's applauding, everybody's enjoying. My grandparents got a kick out of it, you know, so it's like there was a way of socially rewarding those eccentricities. And I think they have everything to do with why I became a singer, because I really believe that 90% of singing is imitation.
Mm. Are your parents creatives?
Well, not professionally, but I think they have creative minds. My mom paints, and she's an avid painter. My father, before he came to America, used to be a columnist, a sort of freelance columnist for the Times of India, which was a really, which is like the New York Times of India. And, you know, he loved writing, and they loved creative spaces.
Yeah. I mean,
they were concert goers. They valued, you know, they would go to the Art Institute. They valued creative expression and thought of it as something respectable.
Yeah.
And
that's lucky. Really lucky for you that they had that inclination to nourish that in you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm very grateful to them for that. I can't imagine how my life would have unfolded if I didn't have the full scale, you know, support of them.
Let's talk about the album. It's called Oh Say Can You See?
Yeah.
This album is going through a lot of emotions. Love is one of them. And I think an overarching theme doesn't deviate too much from other music that I've heard from you, which is, you know, these are the emotions of a socially aware person, right? You've got hope and you got hopelessness. You got feeling misunderstood. You're encouraging us. You're paying homage sometimes on the album. You're pleading sometimes. And I wonder, with all of this, like, over what time span did you write these songs?
Well, I started writing the songs of this album during the lockdown, during the pandemic. I was living in the South Bronx at that time, and it was a terrible time for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have our stories of, you know, how we coped. For me, you know, I had, you know, a really exciting residency at Lincoln Center, a run of shows for 2020 that got canceled. And so I was just at home. And my industry, being a performer, my industry completely just shut down overnight. And, you know, it's in my household, it was kind of this interesting dichotomy. And my wife, who's a doctor, she's an anesthesiologist. She was on the front lines of COVID, considered very essential. And my industry was considered non-essential.
Back burner.
Yeah. So while I was on the back burner, the only thing I could do was write.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I lived in a neighborhood in the South Bronx that literally burned down in the 70s. That was the other side of town, as Curtis Mayfield, you know, sings about. And it's the neglected part, the other side of the tracks. And as I lived there, I could feel almost the ashes of all that. It felt like there was so much remnants of that.
Mm.
And so, you know, left to my own devices at home with nothing to do but to listen to old music that comforted me. In this case, it was it was orchestral music that I was just listening to a lot. The sound of strings, the intricate sort of tapestries that the arrangers back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s wove together in music, that brought me a lot of comfort. And so I started writing these songs with that sort of palette.
I love this song, Are We There?
Are we there? Are we there yet?
it's this yearning, this hope, this plea that I feel so much like, are we all ready? You know, not just like a little kid in the backseat on a road trip, right? But, you know, also like, when are we going to arrive at this, you know, place of, in a way, utopia, but at least just equity?
Yes.
You know?
Yes, yes.
I wonder if you feel like even your songs about injustice are love songs as well.
Oh, that's without a doubt. Absolutely. Forgive me if I'm misquoting him, but Cornel West, Dr. Cornel West, who I adore, I believe he said something to the extent of tenderness is what love feels like in private and justice is what love feels like in public. Mm. And I really resonate with that. I think all of these are love songs because of I do love my fellow humans. I do aspire for something better for all of us. I think, I mean, I take the problems in society, I take them personally in a sense. I think if we live in the richest country in the history of the world, yet a large percentage of our population is living in poverty, I take issue with that. I take that as like an affront, like, my goodness, like, that's my problem. And that's through love. And so the music, all these songs, I would say, are love songs because there's something I love. There's something I yearn for. In the case of Are We There, that was written on a road trip. It's funny you say that. My wife and I, to get out of the city, to just kind of get out and get some fresh air, we would sometimes drive up to Vermont. And that's all we could do. We couldn't, you know, it was during COVID. And so, the best thing you can do is go and be, you know, in some mountain scenery, in some pastoral setting. And on the way back on one of those trips, you know, I was thinking about growing up when I would bother my mom and dad when we'd take road trips. Are we there? Are we there? Are we there yet? And I felt like that melody, I was listening to this Philly soul group called The Ethics. And as I was listening to that, I said, this doo-wop idea came to mind, and that Are We There came. And I was on a road trip, and I said, boy, hon, when are we going to get to that place where we feel content? Mm-hmm. And maybe we'll never get there. Maybe we'll never get there, but we'll continue to yearn for it.
Yeah. You and your wife getting out of the city makes me think about the song In the Jungle. The song is about the daily grind of living in a concrete jungle.
Feel the jungle, the concrete jungle.
Are you getting tired of city life?
No, I can't imagine living outside of a city. I think the rest of my life I'll be living in a city. Maybe when I'm old and, you know, toothless, maybe I'll opt for something more pastoral, but I need to be in a city. And the album, the urbane aspect, that sort of Dickensian aspect of living in big cities is definitely, I think, part of pretty much all the songs of the album. I certainly felt that when we were in the Bronx. I mean, we did eventually leave and move back to Chicago because Chicago is, first of all, just a great time. I'm not saying that just because I'm from here. I think if there is any aspect of the American dream in a city, I think Chicago still has it.
You work with Preet Bharara on Oh Say Can You See as the executive producer.
Mm-hmm.
Preet Bharara, for the person listening, if you recognize that name, is also the former U.S. attorney for New York's Southern District. And y'all are actually friends. When I listen to this song, Do Something, I imagine this being how your conversations go with Preet. Like, let's get together and do something about all this mess that's happening in the world. How did you come to work together to put this album out?
That's pretty accurate. I mean, that's okay. Pretty much how it happened. Yeah, we got together and we did something. No, he and I met at the book launch of a mutual friend, Wajahat Ali, he released a book in 22, and this was in New York, and Preet was asked to read passages from the book. He has the skills of elocution that I lack, and I sang at it, and we, you know, met in the green room, and, you know, a bromance sort of developed, and then pretty soon we were, you know, going, checking out jazz clubs in the village together, and he's known for being a U.S. attorney, but the fact is he's quite an auteur. He's quite an aesthetician. He's a film buff. He has a creative side to him, and now that he's a private citizen, he wants to do more of these type of things. He's not bound by the restrictions of being in government. It happened a lot more organically than perhaps one would imagine, because he would come to my shows and he loved the music, and I would share the new songs I was writing and he loved them, and he's like, man, I want to get behind this in a big way. And I said, well, what if you exec produced it? And he's like, me?
Exec produced? Like, you're like, stop with this humbleness.
Yeah, exactly. Like, get behind me, bro. Yeah. And it didn't take much convincing, because he loved the music. He loved the message. And I've said this before. I think that he has fought for justice in the courtroom his whole life. And I fought for justice with my music and my microphone. And so in some ways we've complemented each other, and it's been a really wonderful, wonderful collaboration, a very unorthodox collaboration. It's not just that we are from different industries or from different sort of professions. It's also we're generationally different. You know, and we don't align on politically on everything. We don't agree on everything, you know, but we find common ground. And I think there's something to be said about the ability to do that in today's sort of polarized climate.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's also a real friendship.
Dream on, dream on.
The last song on the album, Dream On, is an ode to the quote, dreamers who dare to dream at all, which is a really beautiful sentiment and a reminder.
Mm-hmm.
I assume you identify as a dreamer.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I think you have to be if you're crazy enough to write music and put it out. You kind of have to be somewhat dreamerish or delusional or something.
Two sides of the same coin,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah,
what are you dreaming about these days?
Well, I dream of a future where we all want better things for each other, where we're not just all in it for ourselves, where, like I was saying earlier, if something's wrong in society, then that's not just that person's problem, that's your problem. I dream of a society where women are in charge, to be honest. I think men have had a go at it for the past couple thousand years, and we're not doing really well, you know. We're not getting better, and, I think that for how many thousands of years we've, 50% of our population, women, we've, you know, hamstrung them, well, then our society is going to limp on one foot. You know, if you do that, you know, and I also would love to see a society. I'd love to dream about. I dream about a society where we learn from the past. For me, history is my favorite subject. I think if I was not a singer, I would be a history teacher, and I think history is so important to be taught the right way and to be absorbed the right way, because if not, you literally repeat the same, you go through the same cycles, and you don't learn, and society doesn't learn. And I think my music, perhaps it reflects that, because it is inspired by the past, but it looks forward to the future.
Zeeshan B is a musician, a singer, a songwriter, a dreamer. Zeeshan, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
His new album, Oh Say Can You See, comes out on July 26th, but you can listen to his single, On My Own, right now. And that's it for today. Justin Bull, Sarah Stark, and I produce The Rundown. Ariel Van Cleve is our editor and executive producer. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. If you love the show, rate us, review us. It helps more people find the show. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you on Friday.